So thank you, band. That was amazing, as always. Do grab a seat. The problem with... the problem with great worship is that on a day like today, when my voice was already playing silly what's it, we shall see how much of my voice is left. You might get off lightly. I'll run out of voice before I run out of things to say, and therefore you'll get an early one. So for those of you that don't know me, I think most of you do, but I'm Claire. I'm married to Chris, who has been speaking to you so wonderfully already this morning and welcoming you. I've got three children who, as Chris said, showered me with homemade lovelies this morning. Most of them will not go in recycling. They're very beautiful. And when I was praying about what God wanted to say to you today, a song kept coming back to me. Now, for those of you that have heard me speak before, you will know that God often speaks to me in songs, mainly because I don't sit still long enough to sit down and have a lovely quiet time and engage with him. I'm just always busy and doing stuff. So God tends to grab my attention rather than me going for his. It's not great, you know. It would be good if I could stop long enough to actually ask him, but I tend to ask him and then wander off and do something else, and he goes, hang on a minute, I've got an answer. So if any of you listen to Radio 2 as much as I do, you will have heard this song on the radio. It's called People Pleaser by an artist called Kat Burns. And I'm not going to go through loads of the lyrics because her experience is actually quite different to mine. But the point of the song is that she says she spends a lot of time trying to please other people, and has got herself into a situation where she can't really be who she is because she's too worried about pleasing other people. And she says, I guess I'm what they call a people pleaser. And I really relate to that sentiment because although for her, she struggles with things like confrontation and saying something when something needs saying. And that's not necessarily quite so much where I'm at. But where I really struggle is I can't bear the thought of people rejecting me, not liking me. It's really important to me that people like me. So I have ended up often being a people pleaser, somebody who listens to what people say about what's important to them and does that rather than something else, rather than something that I really know I should be doing. I will do what that person said I should do in case they don't like me if I don't. Do you get what I mean? And it's something that God's been really challenging me on. And when he brought this song back to mind when I was asking him what I should talk to you about this morning, he said, share a little bit of that with them, but I'm going to take you on a journey with it. So I said, okay, well, I can't just get up there and tell them that they're not allowed to reject me because, you know, that's not really the point. So what more? And he said, have a look at the Pharisees. And I was like, what? And he said, have a look at the Pharisees. Have a look at who they were. And that got me to thinking, I will try really hard not to cough into the microphone, but I can't promise I'm always going to remember to move it. So I apologize in advance for blowing your eardrums out. The other thing he said to me, no, I'm fine, thank you. The other thing he said to me was, are you a people pleaser or are you a God pleaser? And when I looked at the Pharisees, I discovered something. Because, you know, we often think of the Pharisees as being the bad guys. They were the people who Jesus referred to as a nest of vipers. I mean, he was pretty scathing about them most of the time. But actually, when I looked at them more, what I realized was they were just trying to please God and people. And they'd got themselves in such a knot with trying to please God and people that they'd missed the point. And they'd met Jesus and he was right in front of them. And they'd missed who he was because they were so busy trying to work out what the right thing to do was and do the right thing. So let's have a look at them a little bit more. Bless Dave. I handed Dave an enormous list of scriptures this morning. I don't know, what is it, 12, something like that? And I said, I'm not sure which ones I'm going to use, and I'm not sure which order I'm going to use them in. And he was like, oh, great, thanks. So bless him enormously for dealing with my nonsense. And I can't even remember which one I'm going to go to first, so this isn't very helpful, is it? Let's have a look at Luke 18, verses 9 to 14. And now I've got to find it in amongst all the ones that I decided I would be really helpful and look up. So, then Jesus told this story to some who had great self-confidence and scorned everyone else. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a dishonest tax collector. The proud Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. I thank you, God, that I'm not a sinner like everyone else, especially like that tax collector over there. For I never cheat, I don't sin, I don't commit adultery, I fast twice a week, and I give you a tenth of my income. But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, Oh God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For the proud will be humbled, and the humble will be honored. Now, there's a couple of things here. I mean, the first thing is a bit of a throwaway point, but if you were listening to Daniel's preach the other week, or if you didn't listen to it, I would encourage you to. It was really good. He was talking about asking for forgiveness over and over again for things that we've already been forgiven for. So don't fall into the trap of the tax collector either, of only going to God and going, oh, terrible me, terrible me. But he was doing this for the first time. He was going and saying, I've made all the mistakes. He knew where he was at. And he was redeemed because of that. But it would be easy to look at the Pharisee and say he's doing the right things. He's fasting. He's not committing sin. He's never cheated. He doesn't sin. He doesn't commit adultery. He's giving a tenth of his income. He's doing all the right things in an attempt to please God. But has he actually pleased God? Has he actually done the thing that is most important? Because the thing God was saying to me is it's not about ticking all the boxes. If I want to be a God pleaser rather than a people pleaser, if I want to put what God is saying to me first in my life, ahead of the things that people tell me I should be doing, I need to not miss the point on what that is either. I need to be hearing God's voice. I need to be hearing directly from him, not looking at what people say I should be doing to be a God pleaser, or what people say I should be doing to please them. I need to be in that relationship with God. I need to be going to him with my honest fears, my honest thoughts, with where I'm really at, and asking him, how do I please you, God? So that got me on to, how do I please God? Because I thought, you know, I can please God by being at church every Sunday. I can please God by saying yes when he says that I need to step up and help lead this church. I can please God by doing lots of worthy volunteering. I can please God by opening my home to people. Is that really what I need to do to please God? So I Googled, because I like a good Google. I Googled, how do you please God? Well, that's a good place to start, isn't it? because, you know, God speaks directly to us. He speaks through songs, but he speaks through the Bible too. And Google's a good place to find out what the Bible says about things, because the Bible's long, okay? It's okay to say, what into Google, what does the Bible say about? Make sure you're actually reading the Bible, no, not somebody else talking about the Bible, because that could be a bit dodge. You never know, it might be good. But so I had a couple of things. The first thing that struck me was that the first thing that I looked at in the Bible was something that came from the Old Testament. I don't know about you, but sometimes I think all the good stuff that Jesus tells us about how to live connected with God comes in the New Testament, because that's the point at which Jesus has done what he did in coming to earth, being crucified, being resurrected. That's the point at which our connection has been restored with God. So that's where we find out about what living a connected life is like. But actually, I was reminded when the first verse I found about this was in the Old Testament that was God's original design. When he created man back in Genesis, he didn't say, you're going to live by burnt offerings in order to please God until it gets to Jesus, and then you'll be connected. He said, you're here to live a connected life. So in Hosea, that well-known tiny book that you can't find, in Hosea 6 and verse 6, it says, So this is God responding. And he says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, an acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. In my version, it says, I want you to be merciful. I don't want your sacrifices. I want you to know God. That's more important than burnt offerings. And even at that point in the Old Testament, God was saying to his people, I want a relationship with you. Burnt offerings is what I will deal with. I'll cope with that. But that's not what I really want. My heart for my people is connection. So all of those things that I think I'm doing for God, am I doing them as a burnt offering? Am I doing them as a sacrifice? Am I doing them as something that I think I should be doing? Because there's nothing wrong with actually doing them, but it's about the motivation. Why? Because in where's that one gone? I had a really good one. That's the problem with too many scriptures. Then you can't find the one you want. Hebrews 11, verse 6. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So all the things that I'm doing, if I'm not doing them out of relationship with God, if I'm not doing them because I know that that is his heart, if I'm not doing them because I know that God is saying I should do that particular thing and there is a good reason for it, he's telling me, then they're just burnt offerings. They're just sacrifices. They're not God-pleasing. God's pleasure comes from, like Stanley, me running to him. Me approaching him without caution, without fear. God's pleasure comes from my desire for him, for relationship, not because of what he can do for me. And his love for me doesn't come from what I am doing for him. It comes because I am his child, because I am precious, because I am made in his image and likeness. I don't want to end up being a Pharisee. And it would be very, very easy for me to do that, because I like to do stuff. I'm not very good at sitting still and listening. I'm not very good at sitting still and connecting. I'm good at doing things. So it would be very easy for me to fall into the trap of ending up being a Pharisee, doing a whole load of things. And like Matthew 7, 21 to 23, I knew I'd get through some of them. There's some good stuff in the Bible, you know. I nearly licked the microphone then instead of my finger. Oh dear. Losing it. This is, interestingly, this passage just comes just before the story of building a house on a rock, which I hadn't noticed before. It's always good to look at context. So Jesus is teaching about how to build a relationship. And he says, "Not all the people who sound religious are really godly. They may refer to me as Lord, but they still won't enter the kingdom of heaven. On judgment day, many will tell me, 'Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, performed miracles in your name.' But I will reply, 'I never knew you.'" How horrendous. I cannot imagine how I would feel if I had spent my life doing good things that I thought I was doing for God, even things like prophesying and casting out demons and healing people and all of that. And I thought I was doing it for God, and yet he never knew me. So that's the challenge that God has given to me. That's the journey that I am on with him. All the stuff, what's it really for? Who's it really for? It does matter. Because my relationship with God is the thing that is most important in my life. And out of all of those things, out of that, sorry, I can do the things that he is asking me to do. So my challenge in this season is to not be swayed by the things I think I should be doing, by the tick list, by the list of endless jobs, by the things people say I should be doing, but to stay close and connect with God, to learn to go to him, not wait for him to come to me, to learn to stay so close that my heart beats with his. That I know what he would have me do because I know what's on his heart. And I think that's all I've got to say. Thank you.